Welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. My name is Craig Crash Collins, joined as always by Brandon Scott, otherwise known as B. Scott. Just four teams remain in this iteration of the NFL playoffs. Today we give one word to describe the postseason so far and rank the team still alive by likelihood they'll hoist the Lombardi Trophy in Glendale. And of course, we give our championship weekend predictions. Hope you enjoy. Nothing to report on the Colts front. Still going through interviews. On that end, I saw a report today that the Colts could be interested in Aaron Rodgers. Very much hope that doesn't happen. So just trying to pretend that doesn't exist at all.
But hey, on the flip side, it also reported that Houston is interested in Derek Carr. So some of these quarterback needy teams that are ahead of the Colts are looking at potentially veterans as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that is good.
Bad news. And then on the coaching front, apparently the Colts are requesting a second-round interview with Dan Quinn.
I have mixed feelings about that because on the one side, the defense for the Cowboys has been really good. It was really good this year. But who did Dan Quinn coach when he was the head coach in Atlanta? Matt Ryan. So, I mean, yes, I could see why that would be good on that side, but also, like, that means that the Colts could be committed to staying Matt Ryan.
You're going to have Matt Ryan back regardless. You're not going to cut him and take that cap hit. I mean, you're going to draft a quarterback, I feel like, and it's good to have a veteran presence, at least on the roster, to, you know, help teach that rookie the ways of the NFL. Well, honestly, they're not cutting him and he's not retiring. So, and he's definitely not playing.
Right. I guess
unless it's an emergency.
I guess in a way, okay, maybe I'm on board with this now, because in a way, if Dan Quinn brings in, I mean, of course there's no Kyle Shanahan to bring in as the offensive coordinator, but if you find someone to be the offensive coordinator, it'd be kind of funny if he was able to snag Kellen Moore.
I was just thinking the same thing.
But if he can bring over an offensive coordinator, someone who's run like the offense that he's presided over, or the type of offense he wants to run, or at least the kind of offense he wants to implement, then maybe having Matt Ryan is good because he can better teach whoever the Colts draft. I don't like anything that could potentially lean to the Colts not drafting a quarterback because
I don't think that's going to happen at this point unless for some reason they are not like. Teams jump ahead of them with like just crazy draft loads, sending it to the teams that don't need a quarterback, and they're left without somebody. That's the only thing I can think of. And then first, before we move on, can we talk briefly about these stupid mock drafts that have the Colts trading away the farm to move up to number one to draft Will Levis?
I'm wondering if you saw the same tweet I did that was like, the Colts trading away like four or five picks to get to number one. And yeah, they drafted Will Levis. I really hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, that sets you like, you just sold the farm for a quarterback. That's like the next Sam Darnold. Let's just be honest. When I see Will Levis, I think Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Look,
it's like, okay, there we go. We'll be picking for a quarterback again in a couple of years.
I'd almost rather see the Colts because like you going back to what you were talking about as far as veterans being available and that could like, because I think that's a good thing as far as like taking away the teams that have the capital to potentially move ahead of the Colts at four, but yeah, I mean I would almost rather the Colts go, because I don't know, I'm trying to think of if Lamar Jackson will command a huge like trade. Like I mean if trading the fourth pick would be like not good enough, like I'm sure there's going to be other stuff thrown in there, but like if you could trade, get Lamar Jackson, not have to sell the farm, and then be able to draft the other needs that you have, and then maybe get a Stetson Bennett or a Max Duggan to be the backup, like I'm game. Ooh, with something
see,
like that.
Stetson Bennett, that's a guy that if you don't land your quarterback in the first round and you aren't able to trade up, I'm taking Peter Skoronski at four, or I'm trading back and gaining some more draft capital and taking Peter Skoronski. And then I'm looking at Stetson Bennett. I mean, yeah, he's older, but who cares? Who really, honestly, Never mind. It's going off topic. Let's talk about the divisional rounds and the upcoming championship rounds of the NFL playoffs.
Well, look,
What snoozers?
I've got your transition for you, B. Scott, because as we have seen, as we've talked about before, drafting a quarterback is a crapshoot. You're just as likely to find somebody at number one as you are at Mr. Irrelevant. And we had a number one pick and
Obviously.
Mr. Irrelevant
Hey, how
play
many
this
times did we
weekend.
call for Brock Purdy? I remember having wanting thinking Brock Purdy would be a pretty good fit for the Colts.
I'm sure there is a conversation maybe this time last year where we, no, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say we predicted what Brock Purdy was going to be, but
Oh
I'm
no,
sure.
gosh
But
no.
I mean, those are the names you throw around. I mean, look at all the hype that was. I mean, Malik Willis was supposed to be this, highly. I mean, heck, I was on board with Malik Willis, and he
I
his
thought Tennessee got a steal in Malik
right
Willis, and now it's like
and.
Tennessee's not even sure if they want to run with him in the
Right,
future.
exactly. And then, like, I know, like, Kenny Pickett looks to be, what we expected, what we thought he was going to be. Like, I thought he was going to be end up being one of the better quarterbacks in the draft. Desmond Ridder, we thought would be better. He wasn't. So it's always a toss up. So, as exemplified in the divisional round, because you have a quarterback that was Mr. Relevant and a quarterback that was number one and picks that are in between. I forgot Dak was the fourth round. I thought Dak was like the second round, but yeah, Dak
Yeah,
was the
Dak
fourth round.
was,
So you
and what's
never.
interesting is that in the NFC playoff, in the NFC Championship game, we're getting a rematch from a really, really good Iowa State versus Oklahoma game, where Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts came out on top by 1 point in a shootout with Iowa State and Brock Purdy.
I think it's going to be another close game. I don't know if it's going to be a shootout, but I know it's going to be a good game. But let's take a look back at the divisional round of the playoffs. It got going on Saturday with the Chiefs hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. The teams traded touchdowns in the first quarter. A pair of Travis Kelce scores had KC up 17 to 10 at the half. Chad Henne replaces Patrick Mahomes after an apparent leg injury to the MVP quarterback. In the fourth quarter, Travis Etienne's 4-yard touchdown run with just under 12 to play gets the Jags within a 20-17 score. Mahomes finds Marquez Valdes-Scantling from 6 yards out halfway through the final quarter to put Kansas City back up by 10. We get a final score of 27-10. Honestly, like the fact that the Jaguars kicked the field goal late. I mean, you got to get those points. I know Green Bay had a similar debacle a couple years ago. We all roasted them for it, but I like the fact that, hey, you're down 10, you need the field goal. Go ahead and kick it and try the onside kick. Regardless, they lose 27 to 10. Patrick Mahomes, 195 yards, 2 touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence, 217 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Travis Kelce, 14 catches, 98 yards, 2 TDs. Isaiah Pacheco for the Chiefs had 12 carries for 95 yards. The nightcap on Saturday was the Eagles and the Giants. And oh boy, the Eagles exerted their will on the New York football Giants. They get going early and often. A pair of Hurts touchdown passes in the first quarter, one to Dallas Goedert, one to Devontae Smith, hitting part of my parlay that I had for that game. A pair of rushing touchdowns in the second quarter by Hurts and Boston Scott has the Eagles up 28 to nothing at halftime. And it was just the Eagles on cruise control from there. The Eagles doubled up on the G-men on first downs, outgaining them 416 to 227. Jalen Hurts had 154 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. Kenneth Gainwell of the Eagles had 12 carries for 112 yards and a touchdown. Then on Sunday afternoon, it got going with the Bengals at the Bills in the snow globe that was Buffalo, New York. Bengals. The Bengals looked unstoppable early on. Joe Burrow finds Ja'Marr Chase from 28 yards out. Hayden Hurst he gets the second touchdown of the game from 15 yards away to have Cincy up 14 to nothing after the first. Josh Allen on a quarterback sneak gets Buffalo on the board at 17 to 7. Cincinnati at halftime. A Joe Mixon touchdown plunge makes it 24 to 10 Bengals after three. And then it was, a field goal in the fourth. And there you go. Burrow has 242 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. Joe Mixon had 20 carries for 105 yards and a touchdown. Josh Allen had 265 yards, a rushing touchdown, and an interception.
Thank you,
And
Josh Allen, for that rushing touchdown.
you needed him for your parlay?
I picked an anytime touchdown
Touchdown scorer.
score from each game, and I had Jalen Hurts and I had Josh Allen. I had Christian McCaffrey, and I forget who I had. Oh, I think I had Travis Kelce.
Nice. There you go.
And
That hit.
Hit it big.
Good, good. That's what you like to hear. I learned the hard way that anytime touchdown score for quarterbacks mean they have to run it, not throw it. So I was like, this is easy. They're gonna throw at least one touchdown pass. No, Craig, it means they're gonna run it in. I did that on Thanksgiving. I was like, Andy Dalton should throw at least one touchdown pass against the Lions when it was Bears at Lions. I was like, he should throw at least one. And then they were like, oh, actually it means running. I was like, oh, well, we'll
Yes,
see.
the player that scores the touchdown has to have possession of the ball.
Yes. the Bengals did have 30 first downs and they outrushed Buffalo 172 to 63. And then finally, the final game of the divisional round, 49ers against the Cowboys, the Niners winning 19 to 12. A Dalton Schultz touchdown pass from Dak makes it 6-3. Also makes a UIndy student $72,000, which is insane. We were talking off air
Off
about
a
what we would do.
$5 bet. Off of a $5 bet. Like, that's one of those that you see that and you just kick yourself for, like, why didn't I just, why do you have to be some, why do you have to try to be so smart sometimes?
Right.
Like, just roll with it. A $5 throwaway bet. Who cares? I'm probably not going to win this one, but it's $5.
Yeah, and then it turns into
70
72.
over, it was over 72,000. It was like 72,500 or something like that.
Insanity. Something that didn't hit though was Brett Maher's PAT as he continues to have struggles. That one was blocked though. It's 6-3 Dallas. It's 9-6 San Fran at the half on the leg of three Robbie Gould field goals. It's 9-9 headed to the fourth. Christian McCaffrey runs it in from 2 yards out to give the Niners the lead. The teams trade field goals, and that gets us to our 19-12 final score. Brock Purdy has 214 yards. Dak Prescott 206 yards, a touchdown, and two picks. George Kittle 5 catches for 95 yards. So that gets us to our biggest takeaway from the divisional round. And for me, I try not to go negative with stuff like this. I try to keep it positive. I think there is a lot of negativity, you can have way too many overreactions. But I think, I was struggling to find, the right thing here. And, originally it was going to be that, the Bengals are the new number two in the AFC. But I think a better way to kind of, encapsulate this weekend, at least, from the Bills Bengals perspective, is, this takeaway, which is the Bills are not as close to the Super Bowl as we thought. I mean, they're the team that the last 2 years I've had them as my Super Bowl champion. That's probably part of their problems. But I mean, this, and by no means, this is not an overreaction, that it might sound like. I mean, I still think they'll be in the conversation next year as well. And I know, no Von Miller, no Micah Hyde. There was a lot of players missing from that defense. That's one of the strongest in the NFL. But I mean, of the quarterbacks who made the divisional round, Josh Allen had the worst QBR, only ahead of Trevor Lawrence in terms of passer rating. He had three picks or three touchdowns, three picks, and 617 yards in 2 games. They were second in points per game this season, with 28 points per contest. They had 20 points in the first half against Miami, and then over the next 6 quarters, they had just 24 points. In 2021, Buffalo was first in yards per game allowed, and opponent passer rating. They were 15th in yards allowed per game this season, fourth in opponent passer rating this past season. So a little bit of a regression in those, well, big regression in yards allowed and a little bit of a regression in opponent passer rating. They allowed 412 yards and 27 points versus the Bengals this past weekend. So the defense, again, I know with injuries, all that kind of stuff, but still a decline there, which is not what you want to see. They were also seventh this season in rushing yards per game, but I think that's a little misleading. I mean, this is a unit that continuously lets them down, and doesn't get the job done on the ground. You thought maybe, hey, maybe with the addition of Nyheim Hines, maybe they'll use him a little bit more. Maybe he'll be an option. I didn't really, except for that, inspirational punt return he had in the first game after the DeMar Hamlin incident. Other than that, I didn't really hear Nyheim Hines, name that much. Of course, again, I didn't hear Zach Moss's name that much either until the last game. So maybe it was an agreement the Bills and Colts had, like, we're not going to use either of these guys, but we just want to trade for them. But yeah, I mean, that's a unit like of the four teams that are still alive in the postseason, I would take each of their running games. Like, I would take Pacheco and McKinnon. I would take, Mixon and Pirine. I would take, Gainwell and Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. I would take, obviously Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell. I mean, those are the four teams that are in it, and they all have pretty, reliable rushing attacks, reliable to, a good, a great, exceptionally well-performing running situations. So, and that is not isn't the case with the Bills. You know, and again, this is not to say that I don't think they're going to be a contender next season. I just think there are more teams that I would take at this moment ahead of them, especially with this performance at home in a game that is like, you know, the classic Buffalo weather, you know, that you would expect them to thrive in. You know, they just came out really flat. So I'm interested to see what they do in this offseason to kind of add to their offense. But really, I mean, I think we saw the Bills kind of officially take, you know, the, you know, a step back, and maybe that'll kind of be a wake up call that, like, yeah, they're, you know, we're on the doorstep the last couple of years of potentially going to the Super Bowl, but now they've kind of taken a little bit of a step back. Maybe that, you know, gives them some cause to actually, you know, go out and maybe make a couple more splashes this offseason.
Yeah, I guess, like, with that Bills game, what was interesting to me was the fact that it was played in the snow, and that's typically where Buffalo does so much better. And that kind of shocked me. I thought that would give them a little bit of an advantage there, but it didn't. For me, my biggest takeaway is the fact that my biggest takeaway, honestly, is Dak Prescott is not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, and the Cowboys offense will not be a Super Bowl caliber offense with Dak Prescott at the helm. In these tight situations, in these win now big moments, Dak Prescott, and I'm just going to also say in general, the Cowboys offense has folded. You always hear the jokes, oh, Dak Prescott, he threw his helmet after the game and a guy intercepted. Well, that's like, I was watching this game, it's like, man, that's the truth. That is the honest truth. His accuracy, I mean, it was there, but the decision making just wasn't there. And I may even go as far as to say Mike McCarthy is not the one to lead the Cowboys to their next Super Bowl appearance. And I think some changes need to be made. I think outside of CeeDee Lamb, I just don't feel like they have the playmakers on offense.
Tony Pollard at running back came alive for a little bit, but his end of the season was kind of a dud. And his injury. Yeah.
Not good. That probably was a major factor because that was pretty early in the game.
I want to know what happened to Zeke. I mean, Zeke, you know, his first few seasons, I mean, maybe it's just, you know, typical running back.
Wear and tear.
Yeah, exactly. So that's probably
we're going to see the same thing eventually with Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, which is why, like, it makes me sad, but, like, I also, like, understand, like, if he's one of the ones that, like, not necessarily, like, this year in a trade, like, that could get the Colts, you know, higher in the draft or whatever, you know, anything like that, but, like, There is gonna come a time where the Colts probably have to part with Jonathan Taylor, and it's probably gonna be sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, you know, Zeke, you know, it's tough to watch sometimes him not have that explosiveness that we're used to seeing. Dalton Schultz has his moments; he's solid. T.Y. Hilton had some good moments with the Cowboys, but I mean, I'm agreeing with you though too that, like, outside of CeeDee Lamb, you know, the some of the talent that we've been kind of used to them being able, because it's not necessarily that, you know, it's been just Dak and CeeDee Lamb and no one else, kind of like how we say, you know, with the Colts and having like Michael Pittman and not a lot of weapons outside of that. It's just the weapons that we're used to the Cowboys relying on haven't really been consistent and reliable this season either, which doesn't help matters. But I mean, obviously, when you got a quarterback like Dak, you're hoping that he'll be able to overcome stuff like that.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cowboys do moving forward here. That's one of those teams to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. Both them and the Bills, I think, will, you know, could potentially make some splashes this offseason. So we'll see what they do. And so before we take a look at this next weekend coming up, we want to just kind of tie a bow on the first two rounds of the postseason and give our one word to describe the playoffs so far. For me, you know, oddly enough, is going to be meh. That's my word to describe the playoffs so far. Two of the four games this past weekend were decided by 10 plus points. The Cowboys and 49ers was probably the best game of the weekend, but I'm just personally, I'm not a huge fan of defensive struggles. It's weird. My brain is messed up. You guys probably, I mean, you've watched 215 plus episodes of this, you know, that my brain is messed up. But it's because, like, for whatever reason, in baseball, I love a pitcher's duel. A pitcher's duel is fun to watch, just because, like, every base runner is so crucial. In a football game, I do not. I would rather see, you know, teams. I would rather see the game. Whenever I think of shootout, I think of Brett Favre versus Peyton Manning in the RCA Dome when it was like 21-14 after the first quarter or whatever it was. Those two teams just going up and down the field. You know, back in the day, like that's what I like to see in the NFL. So, you know, defensive struggles, they're great. I'm not a big fan of them in the NFL. Jags and Chiefs never really seemed in question. You know, that was one of the games that was decided within 10 points. You know, Jacksonville kicked the field goal late to make it a one score game, but otherwise, I think like through that whole game, like there was not a thought that I had in that entire game where I was like, yeah, maybe Jacksonville can do it. Like, no, I didn't feel that way at all in that game, even with Patrick Mahomes going down. And then overall, four of the six games on wild card weekend were decided by 7 points or less. The Cowboys and 49ers won in blowouts, although the Seahawks gave San Fran a game for a little bit. The Bills and Giants games were close, but the result never seemed super in doubt. It was just like when watching those games, it was like, okay, the Bills or Giants are going to lose this game. It's not going to be Miami or Minnesota winning it. Both New York teams looked like the better teams early on. And Jacksonville, I mean, the Jacksonville comeback has probably been the signature game of this postseason so far. Like, if you're looking like, oh, the Bills Chiefs last year, you know, kind of defined that postseason, the Chiefs or the Chargers and Jaguars defined defined this postseason so far. You know, it is tough to follow up the insanity that was last season's playoffs. I mean, you know, divisional weekend last year, like every game was decided either in overtime or by a last second field goal. And there have been some, you know, awesome moments and games, but it's just not been a very good follow-up. Now, I will say this weekend and the Super Bowl, I think are all going to be fun to watch. I think we've got our best in this postseason. We've got our best football ahead of us.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this past weekend, I think if it wasn't for the parlays, I don't think I would have paid too much attention. Just I would check in. I mean, because I was out Friday evening or Saturday evening, I mean. So Sunday, I mean, based off of the games leading up to that 49ers Cowboys game, they just weren't all that exciting. I don't know. I think also, the fact that the 49ers and the Cowboys is such a historic rivalry come playoffs, they really hyped that up. They did really well hyping that up. It helped, but overall, it was okay. That 49ers Cowboys game, though, you're right, was the best of all of them. And like I told you off air, yeah, defensive struggles are, they can be boring, but this one at least had something to it. You know, it wasn't just defenses, a bunch of three and outs. It was, you know, there was moving of the ball, there was turnovers, there was missed extra points, there was some touchdowns. You never felt comfortable with either team. Even when San Francisco kind of got a rhythm, you're like, man, I still think Dallas could come back on this. And you just had a feeling that it wasn't quite yet over. I mean, obviously it was at the closer to the end of the game when San Francisco pulled away a little bit. But I think that one was probably the best because that one was never fully completed. You know, the outcome was always in doubt. Whereas the other ones, it's like, okay, yeah, this we know the winner. But yeah, I'm definitely excited about these conference championship games. I mean, obviously we have a good budding rivalry between the Bengals and the Chiefs. And then, like I said earlier, we get a matchup of some pretty good quarterbacks, in my opinion. Like at least they had a great game, a showdown in college against each other in the on the NFC side of things. And honestly, it's going to be fun because you're going to have strength versus strength in that one. You got one of the best offenses in the NFL versus one of the best defenses in the NFL. So somebody's got to give. I'm really excited for the NFC Championship game. Probably more so than the. I mean, I'm excited for both of them because I can't pick. I don't know who could win in either one of these. I have my guesses and who I'm leaning towards, but I think it would be a lot easier to pick if Pat Mahomes was not injured.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes beautifully into the next segment, which we did this with the NASCAR championships, which I like doing exercises like this where we're gonna rank the four remaining teams by likelihood they'll win the Super Bowl. And I think the reason it's so hard is because, like, honestly, I could see any of these four teams winning the Super Bowl. And like that seems obvious because it's championship weekend, but I mean, last year there were a few question marks. I mean, I think we weren't quite sure what to make of the Bengals. They were the Cinderella story. The 49ers were the literal sixth seed last year. So like we can say like all we want, like, oh, literally three of the four teams are the same from last year. It's like, yeah, but also like there were definite some que there was definitely some question marks. I think it was far and away the favorite going in for the Super Bowl two championship weekend was at the time Chiefs and Rams. Like that's what everybody would have said. Despite the fact that there were some question marks in there. This season, we've got number one versus number two in the NFC. We've got number one versus number three in the AFC. All four teams are in the top eight, the top fourth of the league in terms of yards per game and points per game offensively. All four teams have a lot of weapons. I mean, the Chiefs, you got Kelce, you've got Pacheco, you've got McKinnon, the Eagles, you've got Gainwell, Miles Sanders, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, AJ Brown, the Bengals, you've got Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, the 49ers have McCaffrey, Kittle, Debo Samuel. I mean, every one of these teams has a lot of weapons you can go to. The 49ers, Bengals, and Eagles are in the top eight in the league in points allowed per game. The 49ers and Eagles are the top two in terms of yards per game this season. And so, like, you have teams that have a lot of weapons, great offenses, great defenses. Because of how close these teams are, I'm gonna rank these teams by who their quarterback is. And the team's ability to stop who the opposing quarterback is. And based on that, number one for me is the Eagles, surprisingly enough. I really thought with how the Bengals played this past weekend, I would end up going with them. But I mean, Jalen Hurts had the fourth best QBR and passer rating in the regular season this year. His performance against the Giants puts him second in QBR and third in passer rating this postseason. I think he squashed a lot of, maybe some of the doubters that with how that Eagles season ended might have said, like, oh, I don't know, are the Eagles actually for real? Are they an actual one seed, or are they like a Titans one seed where they're not maybe as good as the one seed might predict them through. I mean, and this is a team that can beat you through the air or on the ground, and Hurts is a big part of that. I mean, he showed that this past weekend and that he's back strong after the injury late in the year. And they have the best pass defense in the league. They led the league in sacks and are third in opponent passer rating. So they cannot own their quarterback cannot only put up these great numbers and lead this team really well, but they also have a defense that can take the opposing quarterback out of it. And so that's why I'm going with the Eagles at number one. Number two for me is indeed the Bengals. I mean, Mahomes has been the better passer than Burrow in the regular season and the postseason, but with the injury to Mahomes, I know he's going to probably play, but even then, like how good is he going to be, now that he's a little bit hobbled? So I'm gonna go with Joe Cool here. Burrow is sixth in passer rating this regular season, and has kept that ranking in the postseason. He has got three touchdowns, no picks, during the playoffs this year. The Bengals also allowed the third fewest passing touchdowns this season and were first in the league in opponent passer rating and opponent completion percentage. So again, a secondary that can, take away, the quarterback, and a quarterback that is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And with a Mahomes that is hobbled, I think that defense has a little bit more of a leg up. I'm gonna go with the Chiefs at number three. I'm not bold enough to put Mahomes last, even if he is hurt. I'm not bold enough to put a Mahomes-led team in that position. Excuse me. He has the best passer rating of the quarterbacks left in the postseason, behind just Hurts and QBR of the championship week in quarterbacks. He played a majority of the Jacksonville game hurt. And the Chiefs have the best pass defense behind the Eagles of the teams left. Although I will say 2 through 4 are really close. It's like 18th, 20th, and 21st, like behind where the Eagles are. They are, though, second in the league in sacks this season, right behind Philadelphia. So they can put a lot of pressure. I mean, that's something that Buffalo didn't do, is put a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow. So if this Chiefs defense can get to Joe Burrow, then watch out. It's going to be a really good game for them. And then, of course, number 4 is obviously the 49ers. You know, with the Chiefs, I gave them the benefit of the doubt with who their quarterback is, opposed to the strength of their defense. It's the opposite for San Francisco. Purdy does have a better passer rating than Burrow this postseason. I will say that. While I would love to see him notch a Super Bowl as a rookie, who was the literal last pick in the draft, by default, he's the quarterback I have the least faith in. And that's only because, you know, you're just thinking, like, the bubble's got to burst sometime. At some point, he's got to look like the third string quarterback. At some point, he's got to look like Mr. Irrelevant. Which is not to say that he doesn't have a bright future ahead of him. I think he does. But I think eventually he's going to have that game that is not going to be great. And I think, you know, that potentially comes this weekend. So, you know, that said, their defense is malicious. They're 7th in passing touchdowns allowed. They're 2nd in interceptions. They're 6th in opponent passer rating. And overall, they're 1st in yards allowed per game and 1st in points allowed per game. So, I mean, this is a great defense. It's just because of their quarterback, I'm giving him a little bit of a, you know, step down. But again, you know, this is a 1 through 4 where I still think the 4th best team can win the Super Bowl. Like, that's how good 1 through 4 is.
Yeah. So I'm not looking at it by the quarterback. I mean, that's just part of the equation I'm looking at. I'm going off the eye test, looking at what I've seen from these teams, what these teams have, like the momentum some of these teams are carrying at this point in time. So my number one team, I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, they're just playing really, really good football. The fact they went into Buffalo in a snowstorm and they just beat the brakes off of the Buffalo Bills. The score was closer than that, what like it sounds like, but
it could have been worse.
I mean, did it ever feel like Buffalo really was in that game? It didn't. So that's a testament to how good this team is playing right now. I guess I can describe my rankings as power rankings. I've had to explain this to a friend that power rankings are not rankings. Power rankings are how good a team is playing at a particular time, that for a particular week. So I'm looking at mine as power rankings. So obviously I'm going with Cincinnati number one. Number two, oh man, this one's tough because you're right. 2 through 4 can really just be about anybody. But I'm actually going to go with the San Francisco 49ers because the offense is doing enough. And the thing is, the offense hasn't gotten everybody involved. Like, Christian McCaffrey had a good game. George Kittle had a great game. Brock Purdy had a solid game. They didn't get Deebo Samuel all that involved. And if they can get Deebo Samuel more involved, that offense is going to be really good again. I mean, but that defense, man, that defense is just playing at a totally different level. So I'm going with the 49ers at number two. Number three, I am going with, man, this one's tough, but I am going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Just, and I guess I will be looking at quarterbacks in this situation because Jalen Hurts is healthy. Their offense is still clicking. Defense is a little suspect to me, but I mean, that's just my personal opinion. But the deciding factor here of putting them 3 and the Kansas City Chiefs at 4 is the health of Jalen Hurts and the uncertainty of the health of Pat Mahomes. And that's kind of my deciding factors on where to put those two teams. But I really, really like right now the Cincinnati Bengals and the San Francisco 49ers. And wasn't that, I just was like, I know this was before your time. I was like maybe 1 or 2 years old, but I think no.
Those were the only
was that a Super Bowl?
Those were the only Super Bowls that the Bengals were in up until last year was Bengals and 49ers.
Okay, because
Because there was.
I'm just thinking back to a home video my parents had. It was like a Super Bowl, and the family was over. My dad was filming on the family video camera, and you can see the Super Bowl being played in the background. And I swore it was the Bengals were on there, and I haven't seen it in a while, but yeah.
Yeah, it was the Bengals and 49ers in the Pontiac Silverdome the first time around. And then the second time around, I don't know if it was in back-to-back years, but the second time around, because I know the reason why I don't know if it's back-to-back years is because the jerseys were flipped. It was Bengals as the home team the first time around with the 49ers as the road team. And then when they played the second time, it was the 49ers in their home jerseys and the Bengals in their road jerseys. And that's the game where Joe Montana led like the comeback with like, under a minute to go or whatever, with the touchdown to Jerry Rice at the end of the game.
Yeah, and it was either the Super Bowl that was on, or maybe it was the AFC Championship game, even Bengals versus the Chargers.
Oh, and the Freezer Bowl.
I don't remember. It was like, I think it was 1989, 1990, probably about 1980. It was 1989, most likely.
Yeah, well, if it was Chargers and Bengals, it was probably the Freezer Bowl, if that's what they're watching. But yeah, the only two times the Bengals have ever been in the Super Bowl was against the 49ers up until last year when they played the Rams, obviously. So yeah, there's the Super Bowl trivia minute there for you if you were
Yeah,
wanting to
all based off of B. Scott's family home videos.
and not those kind of home videos, folks.
No.
But with that, so yeah, it's gonna be a fun weekend. We're gonna do our predictions for the AFC and NFC championship games. Before that, we're going to talk about our friends of the show.
Are you tired of your same old lunch hour of sitting and scrolling through your apps on your smartphone? Have you thought about playing a board game with your coworkers? Eat Lunch and Board Game is a podcast dedicated to telling you about board games that are great for lunchtime fun and some that are probably better saved for after work hours. I've been playing games at my office for over 4 years now, where I have made new friends and business connections that have been very useful. Board games build bridges.
We've summarized the postseason, and done all that. We've given our rankings of the best teams, or from we've given our rankings of from best to worst of the teams still alive in the postseason. So now it is the moment of truth. We must give our predictions for the AFC and NFC championship games, and we're doing it with a little bit of a twist, where we're also going to give a same game parlay because we want to win $72,000 too. Although these bets won't probably do that for you, but still, we want to. I think it'll be interesting to kind of give our. It'll kind of give a indication of how we think the game will go as well as far as how it will be played. We're gonna start in order of how these games are gonna be played. I think because I think the AFC championship game is first. So we'll start with
Usually,
the.
it usually is.
Yeah. So we'll go AFC Championship game first. Bengals at Chiefs, pick plus a three-leg same game parlay for the game. For me, I'm going to go with the Bengals. My parlay is Bengals money line, which means they win outright, because right now the spread is like minus one. So you might as well just go with the money line at that point. The over at 47 points and Isaiah Pacheco over 47 and a half rushing yards. I'm leading Bengals with the Mahomes injury. I think this game does, however, hit the over 51 points scored in last year's game. So I think it still is going to have some solid points scored. The Bengals can get after the quarterback. Mahomes is hobbled, and I think they lean on their running backs a little bit more than usual. So that's why I think Pacheco has a pretty solid game because I think they will work him into the offense, just kind of like they did against the Jaguars late. But more importantly than anything else, as a reason to go with the Bengals in the AFC Championship game, is that the Bengals have the Chiefs' number. They beat them twice last season, including this game in the AFC Championship game. They also beat them earlier this season. I know it was in Cincinnati. This game's in Kansas City, but still, this will be like the fourth time in a calendar year that they've played in like a little over a calendar year that they've played the Chiefs. And so far they're 3-0. And that with going along with the way they beat Buffalo this past weekend, I'm going Bengals. I know like all the buildup and hype has everybody on the Bengals this time around. So that probably means it'll be the opposite result, but I'm going Bengals here. Bengals win the AFC championship.
So yeah, my pick is the Bengals as well, if it wasn't too clear from my rankings up previously. Let me make sure I got the right one pulled up here. The same game parlay that I would look at is Bengals money line, obviously. Like the same thing you said, it's the
Might as
spread
well.
is minus one. Like that's a lose-lose if you go with that. Now, by the way, this is a parlay that I'm looking at that the odds are plus 1100. So if it hits, great. But Bengals money line, I got Joe Burrow with the alternate passing yards of over 280 passing yards and Ja'Marr Chase to score two or more touchdowns.
Ooh, I like that.
He's a favorite target. Why not go
He
for it?
is.
I mean, this the Bengals, I mean, when Joe Burrow is at his best, it's when he's connecting with Ja'Marr Chase frequently, and they know how to find each other, especially in the red zone.
I will say I thought about doing some Burrow stats as well. I do feel a little slighted because one of the legs in my parlay this weekend in the Buffalo game was it just didn't lose it for me, thank goodness, because if it was this close and it lost it for me, I'd be very sad. But it was for Burrow to throw over 250 yards and he ended at 242. So he was
Oh.
so close. Look, my parlay in that game was like Ja'Marr Chase scoring a touchdown, which he did. A few of my bets did hit, like Joe Mixon had to get like over, excuse me, had to get over I think like 54 yards, which he did pretty easily. But I also had like the over, which they didn't hit. I had Stephon Diggs as an anytime touchdown scorer, which he didn't do. So I mean, I was telling my parents, I was like, look, I would rather me miss like several leg. I was like, now that I know it won't hit, I want like none of my other parts of this bet to hit because the
Yeah.
worst feeling is when you have like that one leg that didn't work out, which I felt that pain a couple times this year in college football season. So, I was happy when none of the rest of that parlay hit. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think I was reluctant to go with some of the offensive stats, but I do think it's not going to be like a shootout by any means, but there are going to be some solid points scored.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a good one.
So as far as the NFC Championship game, pick and same game parlay, 49ers at Eagles. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I've got the Eagles -2.5, because I think it is going to be a close game. I don't feel confident enough to say like it's going to be a touchdown. I think it is going to be really close. Under 45.5 points. This is going to be a defensive struggle. And I think it's going to be kind of like what the Cowboys and 49ers was this weekend. And I've got Hurts as an anytime touchdown scorer, which I made sure to put in parentheses. That means he rushed a touchdown. He did not throw a touchdown. These teams are so evenly matched, both on offense and defense. This is going to be a defensive slugfest. Like I said, the Eagles have the better quarterback. He can beat you both with his arm and his leg, which I think's why I keep, which is why I think he can. Get one for you on the ground there. It is close, but I think at home the Eagles squeak out a nail biter. Their ability to get to the quarterback and shut down the opposing signal caller will be enough to shut down Purdy and neutralize the 49ers offense. I've got the Eagles advancing to the Super Bowl.
So mine, I have my pick is the 49ers. Again, if you couldn't already tell from my rankings. So my same game parlay is a plus 650 49ers money line. I want to ever really mess with the spread because I always feel like you're going to be left like with that half point you need. And I've never had luck. So I always go money line. That's just way I roll. I am working with an over under though, and that is with San Francisco total points. I am going over 21 and a half total points. And then I think in order for them to get there, this one might hit, and that is for Christian McCaffrey to score two or more touchdowns. Look, Christian McCaffrey is a do it all type guy. I mean, if you really need to get some good yardage, he's there. So, and also he helped me hit my last leg of my parlay this past weekend. So gotta go with the consistency there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you didn't go Debo Samuel because that was who you talked up in your rankings.
Well, I talked to him because they need to do more with him if they want to win. I just figured, Christian McCaffrey being their running back and then with a quarterback that's not, doesn't
It's
have
probably the
quite the
safer bet.
experience. Yeah. Because you can, it's Christian McCaffrey can either be a runner or a receiver. So it was more likely, the odds were more likely that he would score a touchdown.
For sure.
And I was worried there for a while. I was like, oh my gosh, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then they got down to like the 2 yard line, and my brother-in-law texted me. He said, this is happening.
I mean, the 49ers and McCaffrey have helped me with one parlay that I hit on and one that I didn't hit on. I had a lot of luck with them in the Seattle game. And then not so much luck in this game. McCaffrey did get the touchdown that I needed him to get. He did not get anywhere close to rushing yards. He was like 10 yards short of what he needed receiving yards. But yeah, that's the great thing about betting too. Late in the game, I was like, okay, if the Cowboys still have time to throw to CeeDee Lamb, who I need to score a touchdown, they can throw it to him, and then it can be a long pass or a long run to McCaffrey. You can get him in field goal range. Like, this can all still work out. But McCaffrey is the safer bet. He's been, you know, such a breath of fresh air into that San Francisco offense, and there's a solid reason why they're here where they are. So yeah, it's like I said, I can see any of these four teams that are still available winning the Super Bowl, and it's going to be a fun week of football. But that will do it for this week's edition of the Crash Course Podcast. Thank you guys all for hanging out, tuning in, listening on all the podcast apps. Remember, you can follow us at 3C Media Sports on Twitter. Go follow us on Facebook, 3C Media. Go check out the TikTok, 3C Media over there as well. Also, if you're listening to us on the podcast apps, go over and subscribe to the YouTube channel. You want to see our amazing faces and also see the content we've got over there as well, and vice versa. If you're watching us on YouTube, go support us on the, let's say there's a day where you're like, oh man, I'm gonna be in the car all day, go subscribe to us on the podcast apps, because you can find us at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, wherever podcasts can be heard. You can hear the Crash Course Podcast. You can find me at Crash Course FM on Twitter. B Scott, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Scott87.
Next week, we'll be talking more playoffs, but more or less of the high school basketball persuasion, as we will be previewing the high school girls state tournament here in the state of Indiana. It's going to be a lot of fun to get into some basketball conversation. But until then, have a good one, everybody.